Next up, we've got a panel discussion on transforming supply and demand with new ad platforms. And leading the conversation is the creative development director of RadioWorks, one of the UK's largest independent advertising agencies. Please welcome Neil Cowling.
Please welcome everybody else who's coming after me, who will explain who everybody is. So there's been some talk of the P word so far today. It's been a little bit euphemistic. In fact, it's euphemistic in the very title of this presentation, because we're talking about transforming supply and demand with new ad platforms. But we are really here to talk about programmatic and to talk about how programmatic will influence radio, how it will influence digital audio, how it will change a huge amount of how advertising is bought and planned and executed, and also, of course, made. What language we use, how we talk about it. What does it actually mean? Can we actually do it? Are we already doing it, and why should we care? So we have a panel of representatives from pretty much the whole process from beginning to end. I'll get them to introduce themselves. Just to give some context to me, I'm Neil. I am the Creative Development Director for RadioWorks. RadioWorks goes back 25 years as a radio company. And in the last 6 months, we've launched an offshoot called Digital Audio Works, which is very much in this sphere. So really looking at, seeing the opportunity of where audio is going, how you talk to advertisers about those opportunities, and how we bring the publishers and the advertisers together and act as a hub for everybody to get to understand the environment. So I think probably rather than me introducing everybody one by one, what I'd like to do is to get our panel to explain who they are and where they sit in this process. We'll start with Gary Goodman, who's the President for Europe of AdsWizz.
Hi, everybody. My name's Gary. Thanks for the intro. AdsWizz enable publishers to effectively serve advertising to the right audience at the right time. That's been historically how AdsWizz started 5 or 6 years ago. In the last year, we've been focusing much more on enabling those publishers to optimize yield across different demand sources. And what we see is the panel of people here today talking about how to do that both on the buy and the sell side. And I operate AdsWizz for Europe, so that's my role.
Right, we'll go to Simon, Digital Media Director for Bauer.
Yeah, I manage RadioPlay, which is Bauer's digital audio platform in Scandinavia. And yeah, so we're a publisher. We're the ones who are going to make sure that there's enough inventory available to enable the P word.
Thank you. Nicholas Biden is the Managing Director of Xaxis.
Yes, hi. My name is Nicholas Biden. So I run Xaxis in the UK. Xaxis is the largest programmatic media buying company in the world. So we're firmly on the buy side. We're part of GroupM, which is the largest media buying company in the UK and represents clients like Barclays, Ford, Sky, basically major brands always looking for new channels to connect with their audiences. And that's why we find this space quite interesting.
Hussein Husseini is the Global Head of Programmatic Solutions for Havas Media Group.
Yes, I basically run, as you said, programmatic globally for a lot of people have the misconception that programmatic is only real-time buying and display. I oversee all the channels. As I said before, any channel can be interesting for advertisers. And I look for a solution to bring it in the ecosystem of programmatic.
And Alexandra can't be here from Radionomy, but his jet-lagged colleague is Thierry Asserez.
Yes, I am Thierry Asserez. Sorry for Alexandre, he's stuck in Brussels right now. So I'm the Chief Business Development Officer for Radionomy Group. So Radionomy Group, we have Radionomy, Shoutcast and Target Spot, and we are a global platform providing tools to enable broadcasters to stream, promote their station, and also we bring them monetization.
Thank you. So I guess we start with where are we now? What is possible? If you've been around any of us for any length of time, you'll know that programmatic isn't and talking about programmatic in an audio sense isn't a new thing, but it's changed very rapidly just in the last 6 months. And I guess that a lot of that work, a lot of that pre-work has been done with the technology. And Gary, AdsWiz has been sort of building that technology and working with people like Dax to make sure that the infrastructure's there before we even get it up and running. Where are we now? Can we do programmatic audio?
Yes, we are doing it now. I think that in terms of leading it, I mean, the kind of European sector seems to be leading it, to be honest, in terms of audio. We heard today from Ollie Hyme that there's this massive opportunity of the ability to really monetize digital audio in a manner that hasn't been done before in Europe. In Europe, we've not had the Pandora effect, as it were. And I think that if we looked at this is really exciting. This is exciting to kind of harness all of the stats we've seen in the last 5 hours in terms of the audience opportunity. And there's this mismatch between that being monetized. And I think that what we're seeing right now is it's just starting to... I think it's probably been, in terms of our building the kind of platforms, we've been investing in this space for maybe a year and a half. But in terms of seeing real campaigns running, we're leading it, and I think that it's fair to say the people here on the panel are leading it with us. Both in Europe, and I think that it's probably fair to say that the UK and France are active right now. Germany's about to come active. And the fact that we have people on the panel like this today who are leading quite large agency groups in those areas, to me, says that digital audio is now, and it's something that we're all very excited about.
And Nicholas, in terms of the data side of it, and how much of that is in place, how much of the technology from Zaxis's side of the table is already in place for it to be up and running?
So the data is there. I mean, Zaxis, we have our own proprietary data management platform called Turbine, and also our own proprietary audience segments, which are at scale. I think the issue then for us when it comes to audio is how do we find these audiences, which we have and which we can execute against in many different channels in digital today, like display, like video. How can we basically take the same audiences and find them in this new use pattern, I would say, or this new usage, which is digital audio. And I think for us, it's not a surprise, if you want, why we came to the market about 6 months ago. So we launched a product called Zaxis Audio in partnership with Dax about 6 months ago. The reason for that was we felt the time was now in terms of scale. For this product to be interesting for our advertisers. And I think before that, the issue was, very interesting environment, very interesting format. But Gary mentioned the Pandora effect. I think the reason we haven't seen that, I would argue, is in the US, there is a very sizable audience that you can access in this way. In the UK and in other European markets, it's starting to build, but it's still fairly recent and fairly new. So I think that's part of the data is there, the technology is there, to echo Gary's point. The audience is starting to be there, but compared to other channels, not quite there yet. And that's why I'm, excited to be here today, talk to people who come from radio, to again tell them from the demand side of things, there is advertising dollars and there is opportunities. We just need to make sure we scale this market and scale this audience.
So Simon, from Bauer's point of view, what can you do to build that audience and to work with people like Zaxis to make sure that you can bring your audience into the programmatic area?
Well, I think one of the first things broadcasters need to do is open up more inventory. I think that's that Pandora effect we've talked about. We haven't seen that. We thought we were going to see that in Scandinavia. It was interesting, one of the things that Triton said this morning about They kind of made a bet 2011, 12, 13 or something like that. They thought this effect was going to really, the digital audio space was going to open up. That's what we saw in Scandinavia with Spotify obviously launching there, being a Swedish company. And we thought that they were going to very much drive and be the Pandora effect for our market. they've built a very successful, very large business, but the vast majority of it in Scandinavia is paid, meaning that the advertising part of it hasn't really exploded, meaning that the things we started put into place, from our perspective a few years ago, together with AdSwiz, among others, haven't really opened up yet. And overall, I think if you look at programmatic in Sweden, we're even for the traditional part of the video part, the display part of programmatic, we're still not really seeing that taking on board yet. But what normally happens in the Scandinavian markets is when there is adoption, it is really, really fast. So what we need to do as broadcasters is open up more inventory, but together with all the other players and actors in the market. And we need to make sure that we get across that message, what I thought that Oliver did extremely well from DAX earlier on, about the strength of audio as a medium, particularly on mobile.
Hussein, from an agency side of the table, again, referring to Ollie's presentation earlier, are advertisers sufficiently excited about digital audio to take advantage of this yet?
Definitely. I mean, it really depends how the agency sells it, of course, you know, but it's a very important channel. From a point of view of programmatic, if you look at what you're able to buy today across the channels, you need to be able to reallocate your budgets in real time based on what reach you have, you know, if you reach the share of voice. So it's our job to consult the clients like that, for example, this premium and very interesting channel is relevant for their strategy. The demand is there. We are placing that right now. Of course, you know, there are clients who are restrictive, but in general, the interest is there.
And there's been a lot of talk about digital audio being a sort of premium content, premium inventory. How does it differ, from an advertiser's point of view, from an agency's point of view? How does that inventory differ from standard radio inventory? Or does it?
Is that a question?
Sorry, Sonia.
Great. if you look at audio, you can pretty much control your audience. I mean, again, if we would have today enough data to target that inventory, we would grow that part of the business more. As you said, there is not enough supply right now, so we need to make sure that we collaborate with the publishers. I mean, history shows that in the display field of RTB, we had exactly the same challenges in the beginning 5 years ago when I started in RTB. I mean, publishers would kick me out of their booth at New Mexico and saying, it's like, we don't want to give our inventory. Or so I think in terms of inventory in general, it's valuable. Audio is definitely a high premium inventory source, and we can definitely make use of that for our brands.
So I'm based in the US, so I talk mainly with the US publisher, with TargetSpot. So TargetSpot is an ad network, and we are providing our monetization to publisher. And from what I see is that there is totally enough supply. There are a lot of unsold inventories right now. So I don't think it's a question of supply. Is the supply already connected to the technical platform that exists today? And I think they are coming, but definitely right now the supply is higher than the demand in the US, but maybe it's we're the edge of the transition right now. Maybe on the technical side we start to be ready, but the demand's not there yet.
Can I just comment on
that?
So I think you're right, there's a lot of inventory in the sense of, you know, listening time. The thing for me that's still missing though is the raw reach. So if you look in the UK, and I don't have the latest stats, I'm sure maybe Ollie shared it in his presentation, but I think, you know, on that format we're looking at a total reach of like 11 million uniques, which to the in digital world is actually very, you know, I would say it's not small, but I mean it's not comparable to what you can get on display and on video. So I think if you're looking And when you take very targeted segments, then let's say you want to only target, you know, 25 to 34-year-old female interested in fashion, who have been to ASOS websites in the last months. Let's say that's the kind of you know, narrow audiences that people are used to buy programmatically with, you know, different programmatic platforms. You take that kind of audience against that 11 million reach, that reach becomes really, really, really small compared to that same segment on display or on video. So I agree with you, there are plenty of unmonetized, probably, inventory. But again, when you layer the data, that reach and that inventory may not be that big after all.
Yeah. So that inventory is not well connected to the platform, so the existing platforms. And it's happening now, but...
Well, it's not only that. I mean, we have right now a challenge right now in display that everybody talks about dynamic content. And, you know, if you just have a small reach, you need to be very creative with your content, which I don't see in radio, to be honest. You overhear that. And we need to do a better job in display or video, we need to do a better job as well in spots or, you know, like any kind of advertising. Dynamic sequencing is possible in radio as well, or in audio, as well as you can change elements in a dynamic creative or in a video. So I think the smaller the reach, the better we need to be in content. I mean, that's why we have in display today the conversation about ad blocking, which luckily doesn't exist yet in radio and in audio.
But so this is important because I think today the reality of programmatic in audio is, in terms of market, the economics, there is no real market in terms of money, in terms of dollars and euros today. You think it's more happening now on technical side, but there is no real money happening right now. It will be, but right now, as of today, it's pretty small.
I think that it's certainly happening right now. So this quarter compared to last quarter is much, much higher. We are just starting, that's true. And whilst the audiences may be 11 million, they were far less 2 or 3 years ago, and it'll be far more next year and the year after. And I think that if you looked at the kind of brand metrics or the reasons why advertisers buy into this, it isn't just because they want to run a digital audio campaign, it's because they want to understand that digital audio as part of that mix works better than without. And so we need to find ways to make sure that audio is on the media schedule every day. And at the moment, I think it's fair to say that we're getting some quite sizable test campaigns and budgets running, both here and in France and in Germany starting. And I think that we're seeing momentum, to be honest, which I haven't experienced before in the media sector for years. And I think that we shouldn't, you know, everyone's quite dour sometimes about programmatic and how long will it take. But the truth is that this is happening now, and we should be quite excited and quite optimistic about what this looks like for next year. Because I think that if we get our act together and we have media available at scale, and we can apply the right metrics to that, then the advertiser can be convinced.
Well, it should be part of the strategy. You know? Like it's part of the attribution modeling we do. We had the same discussions with display and mobile, and now it merged to cross-channel, right? Cross-device, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this is a channel we need to involve as well as, I mean, other channels. The better we can... Programmatic doesn't necessarily mean it's full automated, right? It means that you plan, you still use your brain somehow, and I hope. And but it doesn't mean you have to buy it completely through an automated system. You know, like if you see that the feedback of any audience stream or any ad is positive, you can, you know, make yourself the decision that you buy more inventory of this certain publisher. It's still programmatic. Because it's a strategic decision you do. So, I mean, we can already have this as part of a strategy today.
Simon, are you as a publisher feeling the impact of programmatic yet, or is it still feel a long way
off? The only impact we're feeling from programmatic at the moment is from other media that are pushing programmatic, particularly video.
So you're kind of looking on jealously at video?
Looking jealously at video, yeah, definitely. Not at display, but at video. But I think that we have to sort of rewind a bit here and remember that what programmatic can really, really help us with as the radio industry going digital is to put radio on the map in terms of digital buyers and in terms of the way the agencies are organising themselves. We need to be better again about how we present audio as a mobile form of advertising, all those great USPs that we all agree on. But we need to get that in place. That's really, really important. And then the other thing we need to remember is that compared to the US, we're all sort of quite happy with our simulcasting strategies, because here we've got diary-based systems or telephone calls or in some markets PPM, but it's all still measuring the same radio station, the same terrestrial spots that you're hearing irrespective of platform. Whereas in the US, they've been replacing spots for years. It was only the last couple of years that in the US they've actually been able to simulcast terrestrial spots. So that gave them an initial incentive to work with digital audio at all. And one of the difficulties that I think many of us in this room have, particularly working with digital at a broadcast company, is convincing people higher up in the food chain, particularly CEOs and owners, that we need to start replacing. We need to start shifting across to digital because there's a massive opportunity there. We need to have lower spot load on our audio streams because we have a massive spot load, up to 12 minutes in some markets compared to pure plays. And until we get those things in place, we're not really going to be able to then take the next leap, which is the programmatic leap.
Can't they see that, though, from other channels? So looking at video, they can see the CPMs increasing.
Of course they can, and we can see the CPMs increasing in the sales we're doing non-programmatically digitally. And a lot of people talk about, at these conferences for the last few years, about the sort of 3 to 10% uplift in terms of... or times uplift, rather, in terms of the traditional terrestrial spot to the digital spot. And we're absolutely seeing that. That's not one of those things you can take with a pinch of salt from these conferences. That one actually is true, which is wonderful. But it's still not really at the scale. We have scale from our terrestrial audio businesses, and there's still a sort of a wish to sort of keep that, because we have our cake and eat it kind of thing.
Is there an amount of... That's where the case studies are as well, isn't it? The case studies we have are fairly large scale. Are we building case studies for the sort of long tail buying? Are we starting to able to convince people that that niche buying for radio can work? Simon? Gary?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we are. I think if you look at it from an advertiser's point of view, it's a pretty easy sell. I'm saying that, having been an advertiser before, that created content through an audio device that's mobile, that's on the go, is going to be something of interest compared to non-created content that's just there in the car or when you're doing something else at the same time. So I think that the kind of basic mindset is that, yes, this is of appeal. There are some challenges around scale, meaning is it meaningful? How much effort and energy do we need to have to really give us something that I can measure? But I think that in terms of the work that's being done, as long as you have good leadership, and I think that what we're seeing in the UK is that with DAX's investments in these sorts of studies that we've seen it today, the kind of outputs coming out can benefit all of us. The kind of work that Spotify's doing, across Europe right now is needed to really help to educate the sector as a whole. And I think that I'm not sure that I've got a list of the top five things to prove, but I think that the fact of the matter is that people are really investing time, energy and money on getting those messages right and out there. And it means you can feed your clients and feed your clients in the right sort of way to onboard them. I think they're kind of almost there, touch the kind of issue around scale. But I think that that we'll see, I think, in the next 6 months, some relatively impactful pieces of research coming out that will help that sell.
So,
just one comment on that. I think what will really give scale to this market is if the digital buyers really subscribed into digital audio as an interesting format. And I think what's missing for that, so we touched upon scale. Another important point was mentioned by Hussein about creatives, which is, digital buyers typically don't necessarily have those kind of assets. So that's an extra barrier, if you want. And then the last one is, attribution, or proving that, to Gary's point, if you're a digital buyer and on your media plan today you only have video and display, if you add actually audio, it is beneficial for your campaign performance, not just by looking at the audio in isolation, but looking at the overall campaign performance. I think if we do those three things as an industry, we will have a lot more dollars or pounds or whatever you want flowing into the market.
So thinking as a creative, I come from a sort of creative point of view, what does programmatic audio sound like? What will it sound like? Does it mean that if on my phone I go and look, search for a house on Zoopla, then tomorrow when I listen to Capital, I'll get an ad for mortgages? Is the data there that will allow, is the technology there that allows those things that we're used to seeing in display? We know that if we search for a flight to New York, then the next day we'll see ads for Virgin Atlantic. We know that will happen. Is that going to happen for radio? How does that sound?
So Neil Shore from Triton, during the interview he gave earlier today, said that programmatic means different things for different people. So what you described just now might be programmatic for some people. If it is, it's already been done for a couple of years now. I mean, retargeting, behavioral targeting, this is something that's been already done. So is this part of programmatic, yes or no? Yes, so the answer is apparently yes. So this is happening, what you described, for example.
I mean, the tricky part is like just being able to reach that person across various of channels then, right? So as you said, behavioral, not only that channel. So he listens to the ad in the morning, we target that person on display, then on mobile, and then he converts, right? So I'm not saying, well, tracking in some way and retarget then across a frequency. So I think that's real programmatic. That's the challenge, especially since in audio, we don't really work with cookies, but we work with IDs. So we need to make sure that there is a match where we can work in between the PI and the non-PI world to being able to target these people later on a different channel. Because otherwise, this channel is going to be like FBX, it was in the beginning, just a channel where you just, okay, I have money left over, let's push it in there. It's part of programmatic. And we need to be smart with that and work with all the parties from the beginning, data, supply, and of course with our brands and the agency.
Presumably part of radio being slightly later to the party on this, as opposed to display and video, are there mistakes that have been made with display and video that we can learn from that mean we can make it better more quickly? Gary?
I think that it's made it easier because the foundation of programmatic, what it means, is out there. The challenges that programmatic has had in terms of driving CPMs down and viewability and these other challenges that we see in the market are less relevant for audio. We don't seem to have those challenges. But I think that this is a journey. I think that we have to accept that over time, I mean, taking the point about creative, Bruno, who's our CTO, is up there somewhere. You ask him about creative and the opportunity, he gets terribly excited about it. He sort of says, about personalization of ads and really targeted messages and seeing what that can look like in the next 2 to 5 years. And I think that for any creative agency, that's exciting.
But are you working with creative agencies to make that point? Or
no, it's a point that if you know who's listening to the ads and you know their journey, then you can apply the right message at the right time, and that's cool, right? So that will work harder than just a general message broadcasted to everyone. But I think that...
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's so many technological possibilities that we can take through it. It's not just through programmatic, through the whole digital audio space that allows us to reposition the way that marketeers and agencies and advertisers look at audio, and allows us to do so many technologically creative things with audio that will be really, really fascinating. But it is a journey, like you say. It's been a journey that's taken a bloody long time. but it really does start to seem to feel now that things are starting to happen. Really,
so is now the time? Is now the time that we can start having those conversations? We know everything's in place for us to do that, and we can go to a creative agency and do that sell. Is this the year when that happens?
Not for that creative targeted messaging, but I think that isn't needed right now. What's needed right now is that the same ads running on over the air can run in a manner which is measurable, is targeted, you can apply different parts to the user journey, you can do more with it. And actually, I think the advertisers get that, to be honest. I think in time it'll evolve into a much more established medium which has personalization at its core. But we're just too early right now. Now we need some decent-sized budgets to test some decent things, run some good pieces of research, and demonstrate the value.
Absolutely, I completely agree with that. And I think there's also a lot of opportunity. It reminds me of the stage that some of the mobile campaigns were sort of 3-4 years ago, when some of the major publishers will go into some of the more interesting, forward-thinking clients and doing those sort of first test campaigns about targeting, geolocation, those kind of things. We're kind of at that point with audio now, where there's going to be the opportunity to take the audio message to certain clients, you know, pinpoint the right ones that are a bit more forward-thinking, a bit funnier, we're willing to test stuff and tap into those test budgets right now.
Do we know who are those people? Who has already tested it? What sort of brands have already done this work?
Well, you probably know better than me.
Yeah. Well, for the brands we work with, I mean, it's people who are pretty forward-thinking and always looking at new ways to reach their audiences. So people like Sky, comes to mind, for instance. But likewise, I mean, we've seen sort of take up across different verticals. So we're doing quite a lot with some of the auto manufacturers right now, and also some of the retailers. So I think it's applicable to all verticals. But to move beyond those test budgets and the kind of, let's spend 5% of my media plan on things that are kind of new and shiny and make it part of the 70% we, works, we have to do all these things we talked about. And I think that will, realistically, that is going to take, personally, I would say like 12 to 18 months. But I'd be interested to hear what the other panelists have to say about that.
I mean, it will take some time. It's like if you want to do it right, we have to do it. As I said before, we have to work with all the parties together, and we should involve creative as well, of course. But the interest is there, from my point of view, and we should. We need to be the thought leaders here. I mean, a couple of years ago, mobile radio, or like having your app on the phone and listening to radio, was not that common because data rates were too expensive, or it wouldn't cover that. But today, I mean, if you think about creativity, you can work with geolocation and radio, and be retargeted with a digital out of home at the same time you listen to your radio channel or to your audio audio channel. So we need to provide these ideas to our brands, and there are definitely the technical solutions there right now. We just need to make sure it's scalable.
So do we think, to answer one of the questions earlier, which was, do we think, from the earlier panel discussion, which was, do we think that programmatic is going to bring fame to a brand? Is programmatic ever going to do that through digital audio, or is it an add-on? Is it the long tail rather than the main sell? Go on, Hussein.
So, I consider digital as programmatic and programmatic as digital. I think fame is a question. It always depends how well you do your job with a strategy and a campaign in general.
It will definitely bring efficiency. Yeah. So if you are efficient, most probably you're going to be famous. So most probably the answer is yes. So, and just for the info, I remember in Atlanta, there was a VP of Dentsu, and she said during the panel that her CEO said that by 2020, they want to be fully programmatic, buying fully programmatic by 2020. That's what the CEO of Dentsu said, apparently.
Can we see that happening? Can we genuinely?
I think it's inevitable. I think radio can sort of try to push back the tide, but I think this is what's happening within the media landscape, and I think it's happening to terrestrial as well. When I was in New York a couple of weeks ago, the main conversation there was about programmatic for terrestrial rather than programmatic for digital, which is probably not so relevant here. But I think everything is heading in that direction, and yeah. We can see that as a threat, or we can see it as a massive bloody opportunity for radio to move up a level, or for audio, sorry, to move up a level within the eyes and the ears, rather, of the buyers.
That sounds great. Time to finish. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.